Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you on this Monday morning. And it's Monday morning at 8 o'clock. That can only mean one thing. We head to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in our friend Corey Curtis to the program from News 2. Corey, good morning. Happy Monday. How are we doing?
Happy Monday, Roberto.
It's great to have you with us this morning.
It is. I congratulate you. It's a good get.
It's a good get.
Poolside to get it either. That's cool.
Rex Road just spent the last 15 minutes bashing Jacksonville, too. So I feel like we kind of set the tone pretty well leading into your conversation.
What about Orange? Did he?
We ain't got there yet. We left that for you.
Okay. Oh, okay. Yeah, that's true. You can rip on Orange. Orange!
Before we move on, this brings up an interesting subject.
Okay.
And I know there were some people there because they always have them in the audience, but I was at the draft Thursday, and like the first like 5 hours I was there, I did not see one single Jaguars fan.
They had their little section though, right?
Yeah.
Or was that empty? Was that like the one hole?
Yeah, they flew some people in from Orlando.
Yeah.
And got them in there. But like I was talking with Julian, and I'm like, Julian, I think I've seen every team except for the Jaguars represented here. That's such a surprise.
Well, how did the Titans fan representation compare?
I mean, it wasn't massive, but I mean, I talked to three people in line to come in, so I saw them right away.
Okay.
Jacksonville's
anecdotal evidence.
Step your game up. There's got to be some Jacksonville fan out there who just absolutely despises Corey Curtis.
I hope so.
More than any reporter in the league.
We need to get them together, you know?
I agree.
More Jags fans need to know Corey.
It's fine. Get in line.
So, Corey, the draft class is in the books. Tate goes at 4. You've got Kendrick Falk at 31.
Yeah.
And they filled it out from there. You know, it's interesting. They thought enough of Falk to move back up in the first round. They thought enough of Anthony Hill to move back into the second round. So what do you make overall of what the Titans accomplished in the NFL draft this weekend?
Well, it was interesting because when they made that pick of Tate in the media room, it was a gasp. I mean, everyone was floored. That's where they went, especially with Reese on the board. But my take on that was Mike Borgonzi said there were a handful of guys they were comfortable at taking it for, and that was clearly Bailey Love and Bailey Love and Tate, and so that's why they didn't hesitate and pick Tate, and now he's got to live up to the pick. Certainly the need was there. Does the value match the need and where you took it? That has to be seen. But I think as far as, did they get the guys they wanted? I think you have to say yes because, they put a priority on getting more picks. And instead of getting more picks, they got fewer picks because they moved up and got the guys that they really wanted. And, in the back half of the draft, that's when you get your depth. But, if these guys are all three starters this year, which they should be, then that's a good draft. But they've got to live up to it at this point.
Yeah. But again, as we were talking earlier, Tate, also, you have to be a star. You're picked at 4. You need to be a star receiver in the NFL, just like Cam Ward needs to be a star quarterback. Yeah. So give me your favorite pick and least favorite pick of this Titans draft, Corey.
Oh, gosh. That's a really good question.
Thank you.
That's
all he does is ask good questions.
Mm-hmm.
Big
J. Yeah, I don't really – I guess if they would have gotten Jeremiah Love at 3, at 4, this would have been an easy answer. But I don't really have one. The Anthony Hill picks it fills a need with a high quality player, and so I guess I like that one. That's a guy who should start for you. So I like that one. I guess the guard from Arkansas, I feel like they could have gotten him later.
Yeah.
But, that's sixth round. I mean, but I thought going into the draft that, there was good offensive line depth, going into the third day. And they clearly thought the same. And so they took advantage of that. I don't really hate any pick. I mean, because I look at Falk and I was surprised. I'm like, did they have to trade back up to get him? Couldn't they've got him at 35? But there are other people who are like, it's one of the best values of the first round. So it's all in the eye of the beholder and what you're looking for that person to do. So it's hard to say. Look, they didn't take a kicker in the third, so I don't really hate what they did.
Yep. So we've thrown this question around. The major moves at this point have happened, right? You're through free agency, you're through the NFL draft, and, who knows, maybe Zeitler comes back. Maybe they make another move or two here or there. But for the most part, the roster is what it is. So with that in the background, what do you make of what they've done this offseason? How much better do you think this football team is?
Well, I mean, if they can be coached like an actual NFL football team to start the season, they'll be better. You go back to last year, and they won three games, right? And if you start the season with Mike McCoy and have an actual game plan to run the football and protect your quarterback and, do normal football stuff, they win more than three games, right? They win four or five at least. It's still the most difficult schedule in the league and blah, 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 but they win a couple more games. So I think it's reasonable to think that they can win six or seven, right? I mean, you would think, if they get good coaching out of the gate, which is what you're presuming you're going to get with the new coaching staff, and you get Cam a year older. I think the biggest question is center and right guard. Do you have what you need there, to progress? I didn't think that the offensive line, and I'll probably catch flack for this, and it's fine, because the overwhelming sentiment I was getting from people at the draft is, well, your offensive line is trash there. It's awful. And I'm like, well, when they actually got adult coaching to finish the season, and a plan to finish the season, they produced. If you will look, Cam's sack numbers came way down. The rushing numbers came way up. So those guys proved they could play, but they also only have three of the five back. So that still continues to be the biggest concern. But clearly, I don't think they do what they've done without thinking that they've got a real plan for it. At least I would think. But that's the biggest concern. But should they be better? Yeah, but new defense. We'll see how all the pieces fit. And, I hate to say this because we found out this isn't true. Can't be worse. six wins in 2 years.
God, I hope you're right.
Yeah, you would think so. They look better to me, but I share your concern. I mean, one would hope that they have a plan and have good answers in the interior of the offensive line, and that won't be the reason that other parts of the offense that should be better won't be able to function like they should. I mean,
is Slater part of the plan? I don't know. I mean, I like Slater. Yep. He's a huge Star Wars fan. We have something in common, and he was a well thought of draft pick last year. I think he did reasonably well against Jacksonville when he got a chance to play. But is that enough to count on him to start? And it's just like, I like Coogan, and I like that pick a lot. But is he ready to come in and compete? I don't know.
Yeah, he's got great metrics, but bad measurables, and he swears a lot. He was the MVP of the Rose Bowl, so that's pretty sweet.
How did that happen?
I don't know. I remember they just destroyed Alabama completely physically, so they just went to the guy in the middle of it all. I mean, I kind of like that. What about Nicholas Singleton?
Look, he's big. I mean, he's big and he's physical. I know Borgo said he reminded him of Isaiah Pacheco. I'm like, yeah, like if Isaiah Pacheco, ate something that reacted poorly to him.
As Pacheco was faster, too. I don't get that comparison. I don't get that. I mean,
he is a big physical back. Who I think he had more yards and touchdowns than Saquon Barkley at Penn State. And I think it's good value in the fifth round because, if it works out, it works out. If it doesn't, it doesn't. I mean, but if it works out, and all of a sudden you've got something, then your running back situation is settled for next year. And that's kind of what the fifth round is for. I'm sure there are other players like offensive linemen that they could have drafted in the fifth round, but my guess is the value was too good there. Didn't somebody say to him on the phone, we've been holding our breath for 20 picks or something? So, I mean, he was clearly somebody they like. And, you know, I don't think it looks good for Kalel Mullings. But, you know, we'll see what happens. We'll see if Singleton can play special teams this year, because that's probably going to have to be something he learns how to do. But I think the value is good there, and it's a reasonable take.
Corey, how surprised were you that, number one, Pavia did not get drafted, and number two, he was not even an undrafted free agent, and he receives a minicamp tryout basically with the Ravens?
Yeah, you know, I was surprised he didn't get drafted, because I thought somebody would fall in love with him. I mean, shoot, Tim Tebow got taken in the first, all right? And so, you know, it didn't take somebody to love him to take him in the first or the second or the third, but just somebody to use a pick on him. And then to not get picked, I was surprised, because you don't produce like he produced by accident, all right? And also, he has shown in his career, as he levels up, his play rises. And he has shown he's been able to do it each step of the way. I was even more surprised that he was not invited to be an undrafted free agent. There are the obvious things. People say, well, this is the person he is. You know, the Heisman thing, you know, he didn't react well to that. You know, going to the UFC fights and blah, 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 all those other things. You know, sure, I'll accept all those. The one thing that I thought of last night is, are teams afraid of there being too much voltage at the backup quarterback spot with him? Is he going to cause too much stir within the quarterback's room? Because they ask him if he's prepared to come in and be a backup, and he's like, hell no, I'm going to come in and compete to start. And, you know, the backup quarterbacks are to be, you know, basically supposed to be invisible. You know, you don't want to hear from him. You don't want to see him. And that's impossible for him. And I really wonder if that was the case, because I really thought, you know, Carolina and Bryce Young would be a fit for him. I thought, you know, beginning with Sean Payton would be a fit with him. And to see those teams all pass on him, I was like, well, okay, there's got to be a reason, you know, beyond him. Well, he didn't react well to the Heisman.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's like there's nothing he's done even close to, like, actually, if he was a, you know, if he had the measurables, people would not care about that. But I think you're onto something on the distraction possibility, you know? Like, is it worth the trouble if you think that little of him and his tools?
Well, I mean,
like,
we talk about the height. Kyler went first overall, and he is Grogu from The Mandalorian, okay? I mean, he's tiny. And, you know, Russell Wilson is 5'10", 5'11".
Right, but they have cannon arm, especially, like, Murray, massive arm, right? Baker Mayfield, massive arm.
Yes.
Pavia, not, right? Like, that's...
No. Did Johnny Manziel have a massive arm?
I think he had a better arm than Pavia. Also, he's a lot faster than Pavia, right? Like, but
yeah.
I also think that Manziel and his outcome might hurt someone like Pavia now. And the fact that Pavia is friends with him probably, you know, that might be the biggest, like, fair criticism I could hear is, like, you hang out with Johnny Manziel?
No, I mean, look, there's, you know, there's a reason all 32 passed on him, all right? All 32 passed on him. But I will finish by saying this. I will not bet against him.
I think that's fair.
Yeah, it's going to be
an uphill climb.
The mini camp tryout thing is
Robert Spillane did it.
That's true.
No, there you go.
That is
it
true.
Happens.
All right, are you going to see the Mandalorian and Grogu next month when it comes out?
Probably.
There you go.
It's a movie?
Maybe Jackson Slater will go with me.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Looking forward to it.
I got to catch up on the show.
Pablo Pascal, you know.
It's looking forward to it. I think it's Pedro.
I heard Kyler Murray was auditioning for the Grogu role, but
got turned down. He's too busy playing video games.
Yeah, he couldn't remember the lines because he was playing Fortnite all night.
By the way, who just came in there and was like, oh, it was Jeremiah Love, right? He says, all I do is play video games.
Yeah.
No!
That's what the Cardinals look for. How about video games you play throughout the course of a week?
Oh,
Corey, great stuff as always, my friend. Thank you for setting the tone with us on this Monday morning.
Yeah. Yeah, no problem. You guys have a great week.
You as well. Corey Curtis, our guest here on the program, joins us every Monday morning at 8 o'clock here on the show. We'll react to what Corey had to say. Take your thoughts at 615-737-1025. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game, presented by Green Ventures Landscaping, outdoor patios, landscaping design, lawn maintenance, and more. Check them out at greenventureslandscaping.com. Appreciate Corey Curtis for being with us in the last segment. Titans draft class is complete. Carnell Tate at number 4. Keldrick Falk, Anthony Hill Jr., Fernando Carmona, Nicholas Singleton, Jackie Marshall, Pat Coogan, and Jaron Kanak is the draft class for the Tennessee Titans. So that is 8 picks for the Titans. Joe, we discussed it to begin the show, but how would you sum up your thoughts on the 2026 draft class for the Tennessee Titans?
I think it's a fine draft class. They seem to have reached on a few players, but like Corey said, it was more late in the draft than early. The big question is Tate. And the defining player of this, well, I'll say the two defining players, because Falk is a move up and it's a first round pick, you know? So I think it looks like that they filled a lot of needs. Looks like they got some good players. Looks like maybe Carmona, maybe Jackie Marshall were a little bit of reaches. But Tate, is that a reach? Is he going to be a star? Falk, is that a reach? Like Corey said, again, you know, I mean, Brugler has that as a 16 spot value pick where they took him, you know? So I agree. The production, you'd like to see more. You'd like to see more production. The tools seem to be there. And again, this is where it's like, okay, and also you're bringing them into what? So Tate, you're bringing him into a quarterback who also needs to prove himself, for sure, and an offense that, you know, the offensive line needs to be better, all these things. I mean, Falk is coming into a situation with a head coach who certainly has developed defensive players, knows how to put together good defenses. You know, like, I kind of feel better about that for him than Tate. But you just asked me about the overall. Now I'm just rambling about other different things. But, yeah, like, I think it's whatever, man. It's fine. Like, the only people who are stupid around draft time are people who think they know anything. Right? Like, we all can have opinions on stuff.
James Gladstone?
Well, yeah, that's the thing. Is like, those guys know way more than any of us do, including any of us. I'm including the people who break down film for themselves and all that. Like, those guys know way more. And yet they can still turn out to be completely freaking wrong. No one knows. These classes should be graded a C, and we'll move on, but that's not how it works.
Somebody asking if has it ever happened where a Heisman finalist was not drafted?
Yes.
Pavia is the first Heisman finalist to not be drafted since Jordan Lynch in 2014, who was the quarterback for Northern Illinois.
And it's kind of a similar situation, where Jordan Lynch was incredible. Now, yes, it was at Northern Illinois, and so he's tearing up Maction, but he was an incredible player. I think that team got the Orange Bowl, if I'm not mistaken. But it was one of those things where it's like, yeah, he's a great example of great college player, and it's just not going to happen in the NFL. So, yeah, and that's happened before that too. But it's not often, that's for sure.
Chris in Nashville asking Joe to give our draft class a grade. What grade would you give the Titans class?
They get a C. They all get a C.
Even Jacksonville?
I mean,
C-?
Yeah.
C-?
Well, no, I'm going to give them a C.
Okay.
I mean, I know other people are giving them an F, you know.
There are some people giving the Titans an A+.
Yeah, Sporting News gave them an A+. Mel Kiper had the Titans among his three worst classes, I think, with the Niners and Jags, of course, because everybody had the Jags among their worst. Dane Brugler had the Titans 12th of the 32. He ranked them in order, and he gave the Titans – he put them 12th. Like, Sporting News, A+. Some people, F. They all get a C. I'm even gonna give James Gladstone the benefit of the doubt.
You know who had the best draft class, according to Brugler? The Cleveland Browns.
Yeah.
How many times has that sentence been uttered in human history?
The thing is, they probably have had some classes that people are like, oh, this is great, and then they turned out to be crap. But, yeah, how about that? Cleveland Browns. I mean, look, I like their draft. I kind of like, you know, the sneaky part of it is, you know, at 182, Talen Green. I mean, yeah, why not take a flyer? But
add another one to the list.
Fano, I like Concepcion and Boston, that combination.
Yeah.
That's pretty good to get both those guys 15 picks apart. I mean, Brailsford at 146. They have a different Justin Jefferson. So
yeah, not the same.
They got a great name guy. The EMAC, the safety from Toledo, Emmanuel McNeil Warren. I mean, he was not supposed to go that low. He was supposed to be a possible first rounder. They got him at 58. Holy crap, they're going to be amazing.
What do you think of
C? I give him a C.
What do you think of Eli Stowers to the Eagles? They took Mekhi Lemon at one and Eli Stowers with their second-round pick. What do you think of that?
Bye, AJ.
Hopefully fun out there.
Hopefully Mike will be able to coach you and not be indisposed during work time. But, yeah, I mean, Lemon and Stowers, I feel like the Eagles just – I mean, even like Cole Wisniewski at 244, you know, like he's a good player. Sometimes, you know, you see a guy, you know, he's a good player in college, and it just doesn't work out in the NFL. And I tell you what, I don't hate Cole Payton at 178. You know, Cole Payton is one of those guys who was kind of put in the Pavia range of, you know, could be a seventh rounder, could be a UDFA. Is that a reach? Probably, but everybody ripped the Eagles when they took Jalen Hurts, when they had MVP Carson Wentz, right?
Yeah.
It's just like they seem to be ahead of the curve on things pretty consistently with that guy. He's pretty good.
Pretty good. 615-737-1025, our phone number. The offseason moves, for the most part, have been made. How much better should the Tennessee Titans be in 2026? We'll take your thoughts on that. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. We are broadcasting live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. So, Joe, the offseason, for the most part, is done, right, in terms of player acquisition. You could see some moves here or there, but you've gone through free agency, you've gone through the draft, and this is, for the most part, what your team is going to look like. So the question is pretty simple. How much better are the Titans? What are the expectations heading into next year? What do you think of what they've done this offseason?
I think they have a chance for a really good front seven on defense. Now, there's still plenty of question there. I have no question about the interior of the defensive line. That's not draft. That's old news, but Franklin Myers and Simmons, I like that a lot. Hill, I like the Hill pick. Like, we'll see with coverage. There's some interesting evaluation contradictions out there with him. But, you know, for me, it's like it's a lot easier when these guys play for teams that I watch a lot in college football. That dude can play. I mean, that dude's an athlete. And I think that you have real potential there with Cedric Gray and Anthony Hill being pretty good tandem. The edge thing, they've added solid pieces there. So I think that, and they have some depth now. So that's good. Now, we were just talking during a break. It's like you know, every GM has huge whiffs, the best of them. We were just praising Howie Roseman. Go look at some of his picks. He's had some terrible picks, high end drafts. Like John Robinson, when he was really rolling, he also picked Kevin Dodd. What you really don't need, if you're Mike Borgonzi, is to have picked Kevin Dodd back-to-back years.
Yeah.
So, but that's the thing. Like, right now, the range of outcomes between, like, Femi Oladejo, is he going to, like, actually become a player this year? Keldrick Falk, is that production hide the fact that he had 30 pressures and he was so close and he is actually about to produce at a big-time level? Like, those guys, second-round pick, first-round pick, back-to-back years, they need to be your starting edges for many years to come.
Yes.
Neither of like, but they both might not work out. Like, so even the front seven that I think definitely got better, it might be freaking good. And it could be still a little bit problematic if you just can't find enough impact on the edge. But I think certainly they improved it, and certainly they improved the receiving core. That's another thing. It's like I expect Carnell Tate to be their best receiver this year. I'm not saying he's coming out. You better – week one, you better have 8 for 130 and a touch, you know, and then keep doing it week after week. But I think he's going to be their best receiver. I think Wandale Robinson certainly. He's going to get the ball a lot, and that's a nice add. It could be, like, the receiving corps. Again, think about, like, the outcomes of the two rookies from last year get better. And gee, what if Ridley has a healthy year? Like, it could be pretty good. That's better. I think those areas clearly they address, and they address, I think, effectively. Overall, are they better? Yeah, it's hard to be a team, go through free agency and a draft, and not appear to be better on paper unless you get rid of a massive piece like AJ Brown 4 years ago. But I still have questions about the interior of the offensive line, big questions. And someone mentioned on the text line, PK was crowing about cornerbacks, and yeah, a corner would have been a nice pickup in this draft. I'm surprised that they did not do that.
Yeah, I think they've defensively unquestionably gotten better from a standpoint of the roster, also the coaching staff. Like, it's the defense should be a good defense. How good? I don't know. I mean, I like Alante Taylor coming in. I like Cordell Flott. If you get hurt at corner really at all, like, you're in deep trouble. So, like, those guys have to stay healthy. I love what they've done in the middle of their defense. I have questions about edge as to how effective those guys are going to be. And I would include Jermaine Johnson in that. Like, he has been a good player. Yeah. Is he going to be, another year removed from the Achilles? How good is he going to be? Because if he's a legitimate edge rusher, well, that's a big development for the Titans. So, I like what they've done on the defensive side of the ball in one offseason. Offensively, like you, questions on the offensive line. Tate's the big part of this, and I think Tate, at least in the short term, before you like take the long-term evaluation of, all right, is he worth the number 4 overall pick? Well, what I think he does in the meantime, if he's at least a good player for them this year, is it slots the receiving room where it needs to be, and I do like that. Like, I like the idea of DK and Io Manor being your 4 and 5 rather than your 2 and 3, right? Like, that's a big deal. Wandale Robinson coming in, he's caught 90-plus balls each of the last 2 years. You know, he's not some game changer out there, but he's a good player. I have no idea what Calvin Ridley is at this stage in his career. If he can stay healthy or relatively healthy, then I think he could still be productive for you. And you could be looking at, your receiving core, if Tate works out, as a strength on your football team. And when's the last time they've had a receiving core that has been a strength on their football team? It's been a while. I mean, definitely since AJ Brown was in there. Probably Brown and Davis together was the last time that it's been a strength on your team. So it would be great to get back to that point. But as somebody pointed out earlier, getting to 6, 7, 8 wins shouldn't be that hard in the NFL, going from 3. Like, they couldn't do it last year. They ought to be in the 6, 7, 8 win territory this year. That's not that much to ask. And a lot of that's going to depend on your number 1 pick from 1 year ago and how much progress does he make from year 1 to year 2. That's what it's going to come down to.
Yeah. Like, long term, it's like, okay, well, if Cam Ward, if Tate's like, hey, maybe a bit of a reach, but it's a really good player. And Cam Ward, he got himself better to be a pretty good quarterback in the NFL. Well, that's just not good enough. You'll take that this year. You'll definitely take that this year. And if you get that, then I think we should be talking about a team that, like, in December is still at least hovering around the playoff race. I mean, like, that is foreign to football watchers here in Nashville now. That's like a bridge too far. Long term,
it's got to be better.
Cam Ward and Carnell Tate need to be one among the best pass catch combos in the NFL. That's how you have drafted them to be that. So, but this year, can you get to Tate's your best receiver? He looks like a good pick, and Ward takes a step forward. Will the offensive line allow that?
Well, and if those two things happen, then you're going to be at 7, 8 wins, right? Like, that's going to follow.
Because I do think the defense, and I do have a pretty high level of trust in Robert Saleh in terms of putting together a solid defense. He had those with the Jets. It was all the other side of the ball. Some of it bad luck. That was really the issue, right? And I think that this defense, as constructed, is built to, I think be a top half of the league defense. I think there's a real chance of that.
I agree.
You got to have some luck at corner health / as someone mentioned, they signed UDFA corners. Everybody does.
Yeah.
So
I don't want those guys playing. But yeah.
Right. And you don't want to be scouring the practice squads like every year the Titans do for corners. And so that's why I would have liked to have seen them add somebody there. But I understand this is how it goes sometimes. I'm sure they had corners on their board. Maybe they went. If somebody else at a different position, you got to go with your board. But that's one area where they did end up a little light.
Well, I just the over-under, I think, on FanDuel was 6.5 for the Titans. Not that that's the end-all, be-all, but I think when you look at what they've done this offseason, we knew there were so many holes that they weren't going to fill them all. I think they've filled a lot. I think they've, you know, and we'll see, you know, to varying degrees how well they've done it. As we say every offseason, Joe, there's going to be some of these moves that they've made that work out really well. And there's probably going to be, you know, two or three that you look at and say, it wasn't very good on the Borgonzi front. I mean, you're not going to bat 1,000 when it comes to the moves you make in the offseason.
High in the draft is where you need to be.
Need hitting. Those to hit. Yeah. You got to have those hit. And we'll see from the get-go, not only Tate, because he's going to get the attention, but, I mean, you did move back up into the first round to go get Falk. He's going to have to be productive from the jump next year. Like, I'm not saying he's got to end up with 13 sacks at the end of the year, but he needs to be a guy that can get after the passer and finish on some of those plays, considering the fact that you moved back in the first round to go get it.
Right. Cam Ward, number one overall. Carnell Tate, number four overall. Keldrick Falk in the first round. Femi Oladejo in the second round. On both sides of the ball. Oladejo and Falk become this tremendous tandem. Tate and Ward become this tremendous tandem. I mean, Borgonzi's got GM of the year in his future.
Yeah.
And then there's the entire range, I mean, from there too.
As you pointed out,
lot on this stuff.
There is the question of, like, what if Femi is good in year two?
Yeah.
What if, like, Keldrick Falk ends up being a great pick? And it's like, wow, all of a sudden the Titans have two young stud pass rushers on each side of the line of scrimmage out there wreaking havoc.
And opposing teams are already not happy about seeing Simmons and Franklin Myers together.
Yeah.
And you can talk yourself into as optimistic or pessimistic as you want to be about these things.
Take your thoughts.
I give them a C.
615-737-1025, our phone number. How good should the Titans be next year? The offseason's the heavy portion of the legwork is done. What do you make about what Borgonzi has pulled off to this point? Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Final segment of the day, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Taking your thoughts on the Titans on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Let's head to our phone line. Welcome in Gil in California to the program. Gil, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Hey, how y'all doing this morning?
Good, buddy.
Good.
Good. Yeah, I like the draft. I mean, they addressed a lot of things. I'm just concerned about the offensive line as at this point, but I mean, there's a lot of things that can change between now and September, but hopefully they do something. I mean, could you imagine this offensive line going against our defensive line in the preseason?
Well, I'll tell you what, the holes that we think are on the offensive line right now, yeah, at center and right guard, trying to block Jeffrey Simmons and John Franklin Myers, that may be a problem.
Like, Mandor might be okay.
Yeah.
But, yeah, the interior. Yeah.
Could be a big problem.
Yeah, it could be.
Yep. Thank you, Gil, for the call. I mean, it would make those guys better every day in practice.
Iron sharpens iron, that's as right, they like to say.
But I can envision a scenario pretty quickly in the training camp where it's like, you guys wouldn't believe what Jeffrey Simmons and John Franklin Myers are out here doing.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, well, that's great. What does
they
that
look
mean for
amazing
the Titans offensive line?
Yeah, yeah. That is true. That is quite a mismatch. What other areas would be dominate the other? Nothing really comes to mind. That's probably the biggest one. That's strength against weakness.
I mean, if Femi's great, if Femi takes a huge step, and Mandor's in trouble at that point.
No, that is true. You never know. Yeah, so that's the thing. So if Mandor's swinging open all August, is that because, like, they're screwed at left tackle, or their edges are actually good?
It's a good question.
We'll wait and find out.
You know,
when
you
they
used
play
to ask
real
some
game
of these. You used to ask some of these same questions when, you know, Treylon Burks was out there dominating a training camp practice, or Kyle Phillips was out there getting open.
Man, I still say that dude's feet. He used to embarrass people in camp. He's one of the great.
Worked out well.
I know.
How many catches did he have in an actual NFL game? Let's see.
Not many. God, that guy. Of course, he couldn't stay healthy. And then, of course, he couldn't catch a punt either. So that was kind of the problem. Between the fragile body and not being able to field a punt.
23 career receptions. Honestly, more than I thought.
Okay.
For 259 yards for Kyle Phillips.
Well, it was his rookie year. If you remember, they lost to the Giants in the opener,
yep,
and he was like huge in that game. I think he had the huge catch late to kind of keep them alive. And it was like, this guy's going to be unbelievable. And then I think the next week he biffed one in Buffalo and
he got hurt at one point, landed on his shoulder going out
a lot.
Yeah. Going on the sideline, made a catch.
He would be on the all. At some point, we may need to come up like with the all camp team. You know, people who are great in camp. Who and obviously like Mason Kinsey is like he's almost like retired. He's like ring of fame of the all camp team. You know, we'll see if Xavier Restrepo can be around another.
The
camp.
Ring of fame. I've never heard that phrase used. I like that.
Ring of fame.
Ring of fame.
Yeah, whatever. Hall of Honor. Ring of fame.
I mean, we did have somebody ask us earlier. You know, they've taken Tate at number four. You got your, I think receiver. I think we know who receivers 1 through 5 are going to be. On the team. What does this mean for Restrepo? Where is he? Has he got any shot?
I don't know. I really hope we can talk about him a lot more this year,
though. Yeah,
I'm
looking forward to that.
I really hope so. Trevor's saying, is Tate going to be out there torching touchdown Taylor? Mm. Oh, God. TD Taylor.
Hey, Alante. Cardale Tate scored 17 touchdowns on your training camp. What do you take away from that? Why can't you keep anybody out of the end zone ever?
Biffed one in Buffalo sounds like a Grateful Dead song. Good job, Cameron. Biffed one in Buffalo.
Jeremy says, I can't wait until October when we're once again discussing the Titans' awesome offensive line. Well, we'll see. Look, they took two guys in the draft. They took a guard. They took a center. It's what we wanted them to do heading into the draft. And then we'll see, you know, either one of those guys can play.
They did. Some people thought Carmona was a reach. Coogan's, you know, again, the analytics on him are really good. Someone shared that earlier, like his PFF grades.
Sure. You know,
his super short arms and everything else is like, yeah, this is not a starter. That's why he went, you know, it's why he went 194. Brugler had him rated 243. He'll be a fascinating study in, like, how much can the intangibles – you know, make up for the tangibles. He did play well, though.
Are you
so that matters.
How surprised are you that Will Levis is still on the roster?
A little surprised, yeah. A little surprised. I thought that maybe one of these little deals, he'd be a throw-in somewhere. So, more Levis.
They got a deep QB room right now.
Hey, that's the thing. It's like, I mean, we're coming up on some of the spring stuff. I mean, it's kind of exciting. I think Levis, come on in, Will.
Right now. If you're going the route I think they'll probably go in preseason, Ward's probably not going to play all that much. I mean, Trubisky may not need to play all that much. Like, you know what Trubisky is. Just split it between Levis and Hooker and let them go.
I'm here for it.
In the preseason.
The beer barrel rookie – or not rookie. The beer barrel, you know, quarterback competition.
I had the Packers group thread this weekend – threw out the idea to me of what I thought about, hey, you know, they've done it with Malik Willis. Packers kind of need a backup quarterback. What do you think of trading for Levis? Still could be on the table.
Just make it a routine.
Yeah.
You haven't – I'm surprised. We've gone through the show here, and I mean, I saw that Brugler had the Packers 26. Now, granted, they didn't have a first-round pick. Yeah, they didn't have a first-round pick, so you're already not going to have some awesome, exciting draft, but are you okay? You good with what they did?
I mean, they drafted somebody that was developed by Shane Beamer, so I'm not necessarily excited about that. It doesn't make me happy. But, I mean, yeah, I mean, when you don't have a pick until 52, I don't, you know. How many sacks is Micah Parsons going to get this year? That's what I care about.
Yeah, yeah. So you're fine.
Yeah,
fine. Everything's fine. Jacob's asking in the YouTube chat, who gets talked about more in camp, Hooker or Restrepo? What if Hooker to Restrepo becomes – just electric.
I think this year it'll be camp. I think people are going to start moving on from the Restrepo thing. You know, they've got Tate in now, and you know, it's pretty clear Restrepo probably not going to make team. So I think it'll be a Hooker.
Well, people should move on.
Well, they should.
10 months ago, or so. They
probably should have moved on when he was picked up as a UDFA.
Yeah, and yet
here we are.
I bet you there will be some talk of him, but Hooker. Hooker may be the new, you know, the new sort of training camp story that we just can't get enough of.
Well, I look forward to it.
I'm excited about Levis coming back for the first day of interviews for whatever.
Hey, whenever. Will. How's it going?
Oh, Will, you bet you didn't think you'd ever be back here, did you?
How's that shoulder feeling, son?
That's going to do it for us today here on the program. We will be back 6 a.m. tomorrow. Next Man Up with Jake Lyman is coming up next. You're listening to 102.5 The Game.